life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill.
It is September 1938. Europe now approaches the deadly crisis when uncounted millions will hold their breath and wonder and ask, is this the deadly ordeal from which there is no retreat? Once again, Winston Churchill, in his role as government critic, calls at number 10 Downing Street to ask the Prime Minister some vital questions.
Well, Winston?
Mr. Chamberlain, you came to me 4 months ago and asked for my cooperation. I told you I would cause no obstruction if the government honored the intentions you expressed on that day as your future policy.
You haven't been very helpful lately, Winston.
And why? Because you departed from those intentions. It seems obvious now that I was merely being used to make the position of the government more comfortable.
Let us not quarrel over that, Winston. With affairs as they are in Czechoslovakia, I have more important things to worry about.
It's the situation in Czechoslovakia I've come to talk about. Did you read the Leader in this morning's Times?
No, I heard about it, but I've had no time for reading.
It advocates the secession to Germany of all territory in Czechoslovakia now occupied by the Sudeten Germans. Can you imagine the reactions to that in France, for example, in Czechoslovakia, or what is more important, in Germany?
I can't be responsible for what appears in newspapers.
Rightly or wrongly, the views expressed by the Times are regarded by the world generally as the official views of the government. It's up to you, Mr. Chamberlain, to tell the world the contrary.
What can I do? The Times doesn't take orders from me.
Doesn't it? Well, that might surprise many people. In any case, it should be easy to send a polite request that the Times Leader be explained as in no way representing the views of His Majesty's government.
You think I should do that?
I do, absolutely. Have you no conception of the harm that article will do? In Czech hearts, it will create panic. In French hearts, consternation. And in German hearts, triumph. It seems to me that a warning should also be sent to Hitler.
Oh, no. I think that would be most unwise.
Are you going to give Germany the excuse she had in 1914? That she was unaware of Britain's true attitude?
I'm expecting a report from Sir Neville Henderson. I can't do anything till I get there.
I don't want to worry you at this time, but I do urge you, Mr. Chamberlain, to be firm in this matter. You've sent Lord Runciman to Czechoslovakia, and so far he has done well. This Times Leader may undo everything he's accomplished.
Yes, yes, Steve. The Times must make an official denial. I see how right you are about that, Winston. But as for the rest, not yet time.
The time may not be as long as you think before a decision must be made one way or the other. But something tells me that war is not coming this time. Pray God that I'm right.
Churchill, will you tell us what you think will happen now?
I do not feel that there is any danger of a major land war breaking out over Czechoslovakia, if that's what you mean. I know it's very rash to make such a statement, but when there is so much natural but misdirected alarm, one must run some risks in stating one's honest opinion.
What are your reasons, Mr. Churchill?
Well, the first reason is that, in my opinion, Germany is not ready this year for such an ordeal as a major land war. The second reason carries more conviction to me because, obviously, the first is based upon facts which one cannot measure and secrets which one cannot probe. It is that I cannot see why the rulers of Germany would provoke such a war when they are getting all they want without it.
Mr. Churchill, what do you think the government should do?
Stand up to the dictators. If we don't stand up to them now, we shall only prepare the day when we shall have to stand up to them under far more adverse conditions. 2 years ago, it was safe. 3 years ago, it was easy. 4 years ago, a mere dispatch might have rectified the position. But where shall we be in 1939? Where shall we be in 1940?
I suppose a good deal could happen in those 2 years.
Look back upon the last 5 years. since Germany began to rearm in earnest and openly to seek revenge. If we study the history of Rome and Carthage, we can understand what happened and why. But if mortal catastrophe should overtake the British nation and the British Empire, historians 1,000 years hence will be baffled. They will never understand how it was that a victorious nation, with everything in hand, suffered themselves to be brought low and to cast away all they had gained by measureless sacrifice and absolute victory. Gone with the wind.
And now?
Now, the victors are the vanquished. And those who threw down their arms in the field and sued for an armistice are striking on to world mastery. That is the position. That is the terrible transformation that has taken place bit by bit. Now is the time to rouse the nation. Perhaps it is the last time it can be roused with a chance of preventing war, or with a chance of coming through to victory, should our efforts to prevent war fail. We should lay aside every hindrance and endeavor by uniting the whole force and spirit of our people to raise again a great British nation, standing up before all the world. For such a nation, rising in its ancient vigor, can, even at this hour, save civilization.
The popularity of the British Prime Minister steadily wanes. There is dissension within the cabinet, criticism from without. The people are calling for a show of strength. Europe is on the brink of war when Neville Chamberlain plays his last card and startles the world. The best discussion. Two leaders and an interpreter in grave conference.
Herr Chamberlain, your Reichsleader replies to your last question. Sudeten Germans must have the right of self-determination to return to the Reich if they so desire. If the Sudetens cannot achieve this themselves, he will assist them to do so. He declares emphatically, and rather than wait, he will be prepared to risk a world war.
Why has he allowed me to travel all this way to Bester's garden if he is contemplating an immediate invasion of Czechoslovakia? I am evidently wasting my time.
Ja, Herr Chamberlain. Herr Chamberlain, the Reichsleader says, while you consult in London with your colleagues, he gives a formal undertaking not to proceed with active hostilities until receipt of your final reply.
I thank you. We have gained something. My conference with Herr Hitler will not be resumed until tomorrow morning.
Negotiations had not, could not be ended.
No, never that. Herr Hitler is insistent upon new, increased demands. I must not allow the matter to end there, because it would mean failure, utter failure. I have written a letter, and tomorrow I will see him for our final discussion.
Reichsleader insists that this is his last territorial ambition in Europe, Herr Chamberlain. He says he does not wish to include in the Reich people from other nations. He is most earnest that he desires to be friends with England. If the Sudeten question can be dealt with peacefully, he will resume conversation.
Thank you. Thank you, Herr Schmidt. And now, I must say goodbye. Guten Tag.
Auf Wiedersehen. My hair.
very nearly failed, Danny. And I had hoped to bring so much back with me.
It's not too late yet, my dear.
It can never be too late to strive for peace. And now I must get ready to address the house.
In response, Herr Hitler agreed to postpone mobilization for 24 hours. Whatever views members may have had about Signor Mussolini in the past, I believe that everyone will welcome his gesture in being willing to work with us for the avoidance of war in Europe. I think I can say...
Mr. Chamberlain. Yes. Oh, thank you.
That is not all. I have something further to say to the House. I have now been informed by Herr Hitler that he invites me to meet him at Munich tomorrow. He has also invited Signor Mussolini and Monsieur Deletier. Signor Mussolini has accepted the invitation, and I have no doubt that Monsieur Deletier will also accept it. I need not say what my answer will be.
Hello, Duff Cooper. The Commons seems to be in a state of magnificent excitement today. Yes,
they're cheering Hitler's triumph. It's madness. They're only postponing the evil day.
Of course they are. But this isn't the time to speak. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't heed any note of warning now. Munich. Another year. Mark my words, another year, and we'll again be faced by Hitler's demands. What are you going to do?
Resign.
Voices crying out in the wilderness against the settlement, which was not, did not mean peace. Merely a postponement. Those lone voices are to be raised in the House of Commons to air their criticism of the pact. But just now, the people of Europe are happy in their newfound peace. But at Munich, at Berchtesgaden, Hitler is making plans for his next conquest.